We got calls. We got takes. We got stuff that you need to hear. Maybe last minute, but nonetheless, still need to hear. Still need to prepare yourself for. And all be set in stone when we get back. Hey, hello, welcome to Set in Stone Podcast. All the news there is, news there was, news there will be. All the news you want to hear, will hear, you'd hear, right here. So this is Super Wild Card Weekend. And the playoffs this year, the regular season this year has been crazy. The playoffs has a lot of storylines and a lot of things that need answered. A lot of things that I probably couldn't cover on my own. So we got Eli Sorensen with us today. All right. So the Browns, they're interesting. And obviously everyone's rooting for Flacco. I am. But are they a serious contender? Honestly. And then even the Texans, they're a great story too. A talented rookie quarterback, a talented rookie head coach. And so you just got to ask yourself, there's a lot of things that they're both franchise guys. And D'Amico Ryans, the defensive guy, looks like the Texans aren't going to suffer anymore or as long as we thought they would after a debacle a couple years ago. So, Eli, do you honestly, do the Browns pose a legitimate threat to the Ravens as a Super Bowl contender?
You know, I personally think they do. The Texans-Browns game is very interesting because of the whole situation with Deshaun Watson paying up. Obviously, that first-round pick that the Browns sent over didn't turn into Stroud. That would have been kind of ironic, but it turned out being Will Anderson. I honestly think the Browns will win this game. I don't really think that as much as the Texans have done this year, as well as they've done, as much as they've surprised everyone, that they will make it very far in the playoffs. Just because looking at it historically, the rookie in the playoffs, especially on a team like this that had like a 5.5 over-under wins for the season, I don't think he will go very far, but I think this is going to be a building block in his career to start his success. I think Flacco being on the Browns helps them immensely. I think he's honestly, with his playoff past, is the best option the Browns have with their defense and just overall. Losing Chubb obviously hurts, but overall, I definitely think Flacco is a great QB to have for them.
Hey, he's tied for third overall for most playoff wins in history, tied for third at 12. And so how much – and I know this – I know they're not playing this weekend because they got the bye, but we could potentially see a Ravens versus Flacco matchup. I want to see it, but how much – does Lamar need to win this Super Bowl? Remember, he only has one appearance. Would it hurt Lamar and his legacy, resume, if he goes one and done or even doesn't make it to the Super Bowl?
I think it would definitely hurt him. I mean, he's still young, but he is running out of time. He definitely needs to start proving something in the playoffs. You know, he's the MVP favorite this year. If he does end up winning it, it makes him a two-time. And I think, theoretically, historically, that makes him technically a Hall of Famer, although he hasn't proved much else other than that. I think it would definitely be a big role if he were to make it to the Super Bowl, and especially win the Super Bowl. I think that would kind of blast him up most QB rankings lists on everyone's board. And I think that people would take the Ravens way more seriously coming into the future years. I think people have always known they were good and that they had a chance, but with Lamar and with injury questions, they've never really projected them to be one or to win a division, win a conference, whatever, something like anything like that. I think it would really help them, though.
Yeah, not to keep staying on the Ravens, but like especially if you given this team this year, the Ravens have always had a great defense. Harbaugh is a defensive guy.
Okay.
like this team is a win now team. Like if you can't win with this team, you can't win it at all. In recent years, Lamar's been hurt. So there's been that. That's kind of been a crutch. I don't want to say exactly an excuse for him, but there's been that he's been able to rely on. He's been hurt. So those teams haven't went on far. Like last year against the Bengals and Tyler Huntley was in there. If it wasn't for that long fumble return for a touchdown the Bengals had, the Ravens win that football game. And we don't see Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game, which is crazy. So Lamar is supposed to be the X factor. So I believe as well that it hurt him. But to continue on with the Browns, both the Browns and Texans, yeah, they're just like fan favorite. Like, you know, nobody, I honestly don't believe anyone who has a disdain, hate, for unless they're in your division, Browns and Texans. You know, they're fan favorites to win in the postseason. How does either team make a deep run in the postseason? Texans are without some of their talent offensively. Obviously, Nick Chubb's been without. He's been away from the Browns for a long time now. What do either teams need to do if either of them win to make a deep run into the playoffs?
Well, I guess we can start out with the Texans because I feel like this is the longest shot. I think Stroud has to take a massive step up. He's been offensive rookie of the year, but when it comes to playoffs, something like a Super Bowl push, you just have to be mistake-free. Their running game has to really step it up. Their rushing game has been, I don't want to say non-existent, but almost as close as you can be to non-existent. And then their young corners need to step up because their rushing defense has been elite this year. They just have allowed everything through the air, which is why I think the Browns will win, because moving over to the Browns, they haven't been relying on the run as much since Chubb went out. Obviously, they have the young guy in Ford, who's been, you know, serviceable. He's been pretty good, but Flacco's just been airing it out, just all over everyone. And against this Texans defense, I think theoretically he is like going to light them up. Browns defense also has been elite, more so at home. So it's gonna be interesting to see it on the away team's side, how they pressure this rookie quarterback and how they, like, what looks they show him, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be interesting to see Stroud's final stat line because it could be indicative of the game. It could totally show something else. But I do think the Browns will win. But there are definitely paths that both teams can take.
So does Flacco's been, hey, I love Flacco. Yeah, he's practiced against Ray Lewis. He's played against Troy Polamalu. And he ain't scared of today's safety, so that's why he's flinging it. But with the flinging has come some pretty good amount of interceptions he's racked up in his very few starts. Does that at all, if you're a Browns fan or betting on the Browns, does that at all scare you to the slightest that the turnover issues, I mean, they have to scare you a little bit, but how much do you trust Flacco and Kevin Stefanski to fix the turnover issues? Or do you just say to continue to let it rip because our defense is that good? Because we got Myles Garrett. We got a superstar on the other end.
I mean, as far as fixing it, I don't know. That's going to be a decision they have to make. I think it's definitely, if you're betting on the Browns, something you have to be worried about. If those young Texans corners and safeties and pass rushers, if they can step it up and cause a few turnovers, whether that's fumbles or interceptions, that could really turn the game around, give Stroud a couple extra possessions, take away a couple scoring drives from the Browns. That could really turn the game around, and I could see that happening very fast. But I think the Browns need to kind of take it methodically while taking some shots. If a pick happens, I think a pick's going to happen. But I think the Browns have to play their game. And I mean, not air out the entire way, but they're going to have to pass, especially with that Texans run D.
Yeah, no, the Browns are going to be – it's going to be a very – both the teams are interesting for the playoffs. I do not think the Texans will advance just because, given rookies are not very – do not tend to do well in the playoffs. Rookie quarterbacks do not tend to do well in the playoffs. And Flacco's just not Mr. January. Like, he is that guy. But speaking of airing it out, the next two teams, Detroit. So Detroit's a fascinating team this year. They really are. Detroit is hosting their old king, so to say, Stafford. Once Stafford was the only glimpse of light in a dark franchise, but now coming back to put their new source of light out. Detroit was robbed by the two seed, and they were rooted this year. They were rooted by everyone last year to get into the playoffs. Barely missed it, but still had a winning record. Still a dominant year this year. Rams, technically still kind of, or what a lot of people thought would be in a rebuilding year, pretty much found their feet, and they look dangerous. They're playing as good as anybody offensively. In a few games, they really put it all together. First question would be, if the Rams get past this magical story matchup, do you think Stafford could cement his legacy as a Hall of Famer? Because right now, there's still some doubt by some whether or not he would be in or given his career. So, because a lot of people do the same with Eli Manning, too. Because of his career win-loss record, I know you and others don't go by quarterbacks winning losses. And that's a very good argument. But right now, if Stafford, how does this affect Stafford's legacy as a Hall of Famer?
I mean, personally, I have him locked in. He's been the quarterback of, I mean, not even arguably the two best wide receiver seasons ever with Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp. I can see the questions. He's got his Super Bowl now, which really does help, and kind of the empty stats in Detroit. So he's got the stats in the Super Bowl. I think if he can make it past the first round, maybe even the second round, that kind of erases a lot of those questions. Just because it kind of proves it wasn't a one-time, like, quote-unquote fluke, even though I don't think it was. But
that was a very good Super Bowl he played against the Bengals. That was a very good Super Bowl he played.
It definitely was. I don't think he should be in question. I think he's a no doubt Hall of Famer, but I could see the questions.
So the Lions, they need this. I mean, they're starving for this. Their passing defense is their Achilles heel. It's either Dallas or San Fran to me, coming from the NFC. I'm rooting for the Bucs and Niners, or the Bucs and the Lions. But much pressure is on the Lions to win now. And so how much pressure do you believe is on the Lions to win? And what happens next year if they lose round one? Because remember, everybody was rooting for them. They're supposed to be this magical team. Take the next step. They did. They got robbed from the two seed, but it's neither here nor there. And so how much pressure do you see put on the Lions to win now? Because you got Dallas, you got San Francisco, and both these franchises, San Francisco's been to a couple Super Bowls since their previous wins. Dallas hasn't even made a title game. So out of those three, right, how much pressure do you believe is put on Detroit with Dallas and San Fran glooming above them?
I think kind of like the Browns and Texans on that other side of the bracket. The Lions haven't really even been in contention in like 20-something years going on now. So in terms of the fans, they're putting pressure on it because they want to see something because it's been a while. I mean, otherwise, though, they're set up for the future. That 20-year tank job they did was a beaut because they are coming out with it with some good running backs. One of them they will probably have for a long time. A young tight end, a young receiver. Obviously, Goff isn't the youngest, but he's, in terms of quarterback age, he's not old. If they can start building that defense with all their draft picks or even signing some people, I know they've got Gardner Johnson back now. They can really make a push. So I wouldn't say they're too pressured to win this year specifically, but they're definitely pressured to put something together here in the near future, considering how long they weren't relevant. But I think the Cowboys will beat the Packers because of the McCarthy ties. So theoretically, if it's a Detroit Cowboys game, that would be a very interesting game to watch.
Yeah, and again, it would be at Dallas. So it would again be Dallas versus Detroit at Dallas again, but we won't have that glooming referee that made that call. So doesn't Goff kind of feel like an Alex Smith situation? See, when Alex Smith was at San Fran, he won. He didn't get traded because he was bad. He got traded because they had a younger guy, or they wanted someone else. And which I believe is a mistake. Anyway, so they traded him to Kansas City. Kansas City needed stability. So a little bit different situation on why or how they acquired Goff, but Goff, the way he plays, doesn't he kind of remind you of Alex Smith in just a situation of franchise needing stability and other pieces around him? So they got Goff. To me, Goff feels like a very Alex Smith-esque quarterback style of play and just persona.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's what I would actually imagine the term, like, game manager to be. Nowadays, it's definitely used as, like, a diss on people. But he is what I imagine, run the clock, be a game manager, score when need be. But he also can step out of his, shoes a couple times, and he makes some amazing plays down there, especially with young talent. He's really working with it. He's really showing what he can do. I don't know what they're going to do with their future because he's not exactly on the same timeline as their younger guys. But I definitely think he could put it together a run here, given a defense, even just with this offense.
Yeah, no, they got the talent that MCDC and the talent that they have as a whole team is amazing. The term you use, a 20-year tank, was amazing. Found great laughter in that. So I guess to wrap up these past games, are we asking the right or all the questions regarding the Lions and Rams? I mean, the main thing is Stafford versus his old team, and I understand rightfully so. But how about the coaches? MCDC, love that guy. Took his team. Well, I mean, it was the Lions. It was Detroit Lions bad, right? And McVay, a very young and successful, smart, brilliant coach. Would the effect for a deep run for either team be the same? Or what happens with McVay if Goff wins a Super Bowl without McVay?
I mean, I think a deep run would prove more for Campbell than for McVay. McVay obviously just got dethroned for his youngest coach in the league trophy, I guess. So he's still super young and has proven to be a very good coach. He has had his retirement rumors, which is kind of interesting considering how young he is. But I think for now, at least, he's really got nothing to prove other than does he want to continue to coach. I think Campbell, although he's proved he's really turned this team around and he's done a great job for that. But now that they are turned around, I think he needs to prove that he can do something else and take that next step, which he seems to be doing right now.
Yeah, no, both franchise. This is really – so, like, I guess one more thing, right? So, it's like, there really hasn't been a trade in recent years, I guess. I mean, you could look at the Miami and Chiefs trade, but, like, a trade that really has benefited both teams to the max capacity that it could as the Rams and – Lions trade, especially if the Lions go on to win the Super Bowl or go to the conference title game. We'll have to look back at this trade in future years, depending on how the rest of these resumes, these players pan out, and go, this was one of the historically best trades that we've seen, we witnessed. And I compare that to the Kansas City Chiefs trade a little bit. I know Miami needs to do a little bit more in their postseason. I know the Tua was out last year. They probably win that game. Tua kind of needs to show up a little bit. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on Tua. That's neither here nor there for this playoff game. But with the Tyreek Hill trade, it really felt like both teams benefited in a way. I know Kansas City took a drop off this year, but not totally all that is because of Tyreek Hill being gone. But just like that was one of the historically best trades for the Lions and Rams. Both have succeeded from that tremendously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Rams coming out and almost immediately winning the Super Bowl, just that's all they needed. That's what you're aiming for, right? That's what every team is aiming for. And then the Lions have, I mean, really turned everything around. And I'm not, it's obviously not Stafford's fault. It wasn't Stafford holding them down, but they've really turned everything around. I would almost compare it to the Diggs to the Bills trade, because that gave the Vikings Jefferson and the Bills Diggs, obviously. And obviously, neither team has had, like, major success, but it's given them two, like, top-tier receivers, and it seemed almost completely equally balanced. It's a totally different thing here because the Rams and Lions are turning things around and becoming, like, very much winning teams. But that's kind of how what I would compare it to.
All right, because if you look at certain franchises, like, well, like for the Lions, for the longest, they'd have killed the fans would have killed to have what the Vikings have. I mean, it was a mediocre year to subpar, a little bit subpar years making the postseason, though, because they haven't seen that in a long time, let alone at, you know, pretty on a consistent level basis as the Vikings have, even though not making it far, but just having the chance. And then if you look at the Jets, I mean, this year was a bad year, but they felt like they almost had it. And so for some teams, stability or just consistency, I know it's a bad thing to say, but of mediocrity sometimes is a little bit better for the fans, or some fans strive would kill for it, other than have continuously low-balled season. Tampa Bay was that way for the longest. They were that way for the longest, especially after Gruden's Super Bowl win. They were that way for the longest, and then Brady came there. And so some fans would kill for what the Vikings and especially the Bills have, and just that consistency. But thank you, Eli, for coming on. Thank you, Eli, for everything you shared. And yeah, again, just really thank you, and have a nice night.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. So we got other people on the way. We got other news to share. All the news you need to hear.